Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Media Days has arrived. We are live in Nashville. Great anticipation, especially in this state, to hear what the Tennessee Vols had to say today, and we are delighted to say hello to Coach Josh Heupel. Coach, thank you very much. We were hoping to see you the other night, and weather and almost got you again today.
Yeah, we missed you on Tuesday, almost got us again. It's great to be here in Mid-State and Nashville and get a chance to spend some time with y'all.
Coaches love the expectations questions, but you so far exceeded them last year. What's been your message to Vol fans all summer as you visit with them and get ready for the season?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, expectations outside of the building aren't going to be any higher than they are inside. We've never placed a ceiling on what we could or couldn't do from the time that I got here, and I think that was a big part of getting our players to buy in really quickly. And excited about what we did last year. There were great special moments, man, a lot of goals that we didn't accomplish. Our guys have reset, refocused. They've been consistent in their work habits. It's been a great off season. Can't wait to get to training camp here in about 10 days.
Well, we had a chance to talk Tuesday night. I thought you made such a interesting and salient point about what you took over, because a lot of folks around the country, they just assume Tennessee's good, but they don't understand what you had. And it wasn't just a cloud. I mean, it looked like an exodus, and somehow you've been able to stabilize that. I realize you're supposed to be on the field coach, but off the field it must have been chaotic.
Yeah, you look at the timing when I got hired late January. So much uncertainty surrounding the program, the 2 months leading up to it. 35 plus players entered the portal. At that time, you could only bring in an annual count of 25 guys. We went into year one with 65 scholarship players. Most guys were at 90, 95 because of COVID seniors that year. There were a lot of things that we had to navigate in a really short amount of time. Most of all, just, stabilize the program, create relationships with our guys. They bought in really quickly. I mentioned it to you on Tuesday, and I set it up on stage too. That 21 and 22 group of seniors, what they did, the fact that they wanted to stay, they wanted to play for the Power T, they cared about their teammates, they will be revered and remembered in a completely different way than those that have come before them. They truly set the cornerstones and the foundation of where this program has gone in 2 years, but where we're going.
I know coaches can't sit around and go, well, I hope we can do this or that, but internally, what were you feeling as you saw their commitment? Did you feel like maybe you could get a little bit ahead of schedule?
Well, I don't know if there was a set schedule of where we wanted to be. Like I said, I think a part of getting those guys to buy in is, one, we treated them as my own from the very beginning, our own, and two, we never set a ceiling on what we could accomplish. And those guys worked, competed extremely hard. We grew from year one to year two. Really excited about what we did, but really looking forward to this 23 season with this group.
We were up there, I think it was the first season, I was talking to one of your players, and I said, just tell me about Coach Heupel. And he said, unlike any coach I've ever dealt with, I mean, we don't do these forever practices. I mean, we just concentrate on what's important. And it struck me, and I've gotten to know the person since then, and he's moved on. But it was eye opening. And obviously, you've done a great deal as a player and as a coach. But where does this philosophy come from?
Certainly, when we got here, there's so much going on outside of our program, and a lot of things that you couldn't control. Control what you can. Make sure that you focus and harness all your energy from your staff to your players. put it in where it's going to have the most impact. You know, don't waste energy on things that don't matter. And at the end of the day, we're about developing the person and developing the player. How do we get them to be their best as a person outside of the game? And then how do we get them to perform at their best when we get to kickoff? Everything we do is built around that. Our players understand the reason why. They buy into it. And we've become accountable and connected to one another.
I'm fascinated by how you call plays. And I realize there's a lot to it. You just don't show up on Saturday. But
no, I wish it worked that I wish it worked that way.
I mean, is it a conventional approach? Because on Saturday, it's incredible to watch.
I think there's some unique things that we do. One, in how we attack defenses. How do we try to get our players in a position to be successful? Everybody thinks about skill players, but our five guys up front too. And then how do we, you know, apply pressure to the defense? And, you know, that's through tempo, through motion. And then how do we put our guys in a position to do those things in an efficient and effective manner? We approach it in a different way. We got a great staff, starting with our coordinator, Joey Halsley. He and I have been together since 2006, played for me, been a great transition this offseason. Glenn Ellerby and I, offensive line coach, been together for 8 years. We got great young staff members, a lot of guys that are off the field that have been with me or played for me, you know, in the last two stops. And, you know, a lot of really good energy where people understand the mission that we're trying to accomplish and how we want to get there.
There's no such thing as being calm with 110,000 people, but I'd love to, you know, see what your blood pressure is, because it seems really normal versus racing, especially in some of the bigger games.
Well, I think if you want your players to be calm in the biggest moments and be consistent in how they play from play to play, I think it's really important that you embody that and do that as a head coach too. And there's nothing you can do about the past play. If there's a failure from a player, you better look at yourself first and foremost. And then, you know, how do you help that player make sure that he goes and makes that play the next time? You know, being able to push forward and you get ready for the next play.
I'm sure it is frustrating when coaches have told me they've called it. I had one coach I know, he said, I called the right play. But they also make you look good sometimes when they improvise, don't
Listen,
they?
Listen, you're all in it together. At the end of the day, you better find a way to be plus one. When you walk off that scoreboard, a score can look a lot of different ways. But offense, defense, special teams, staff, equipment managers, training room, weight room, everybody's in it. And the great thing about college football is you get a chance to measure yourself every Saturday afternoon. That's the tough thing about it, too, but wouldn't change it.
Certainly people remember last year for a lot of reasons. The end was incredible, but it was the series against Alabama that I think, having gone to school there, I will be talked about forever on Rocky Top. Were you just reacting to what you saw? I know it's old news, but it's still one of the most incredible couple of seconds I've ever seen in college football.
Yeah, a lot of great moments. Had a discussion whether you call a timeout and try to ice the kicker. Didn't want to do that. Wanted the timeouts if there was enough time on the back end of it, if he missed it, to give us a chance to go put a drive together. And end of the day, you try to put your kids in a position situationally, what you think you're going to see. Give them an opportunity to go run some plays that you can pick up some chunks. Our guys operated and did a great job from the offensive line to obviously Hendon in particular, that last throw where he's, you know, getting hit as he's letting it go. But, you know, Ramel Keaton, great catch. Brew McCoy goes up and grabs the ball and gets hit. And then we're able to go execute. Not perfectly, but we were able to go execute the kick.
We it looked our, pretty good to me.
We want our protection to be a little bit better than it was on that play, but it worked.
Coach, Lane Kiffin was here earlier. Others, it's not the NIL part of the equation is certainly nothing new, but it also depends on how you react to it. And I don't hear you complaining. I hear you just facilitating what's happening. How do you approach that?
Well, it could be because I was a player and I would have liked to have partaken in the
done
NIL.
Well, by the way.
I'm going to see if we can backdate that and go back in time. But I think there's positives to it. And at the end of the day, I think it's the right thing for kids. How college football navigates that space the right way, I think everybody's trying to put their hands on. But at the end of the day, it's opportunities that I would have wanted and I want for our players. There's been a lot of positives inside of our locker room. Rocky Top's a great place. The passion of the fan base, the city of Knoxville, it's the coolest college city in America. The uniqueness of UT, there's a lot of opportunity there for our players, and proud of that.
Yeah, I'm interested because he called it. I'm not trying to put coaches. I mean, there've been enough battles with Lane Kiffin from the Tennessee side.
Don't get our fan base rattled
but
up.
He's not the only one. He described it as a disaster. But I think college football is incredible right now, and fans, they're going to be there for your first game here, and then for every other game they can. It's not a disaster.
It hasn't changed the passion of the fan bases and the viewership of college football. This game is about constant evolving with the times, and NIL, you know, from our Supreme Court down, it's the right thing for players. And you know, now for us and for me, it's about putting our players in the best situation to take advantage of it and to handle it the right way. There's been a lot of positives inside of our locker room. That's an ongoing thing that you got to have your thumb on and be ready to deal with and educate too. But been a lot of positives at Tennessee.
I could keep going, but I know you have other things to do. But I deeply appreciate you coming by. This was really fun for us, and I know for everybody watching.
Great to be with you. It's been too long, and hopefully we'll see you on Rocky Top this fall.
I can't wait. We'll take a short break. Thanks to Coach Heupel for getting us started here on the final day of Media Days.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're Nashville, where we have been seemingly since the beginning of time, but it was only Monday when we arrived. A couple more hours to go. This is the day I love the most because I get to kick back and let Ron Slade take over the show. He will be hosting the rest of the time. I've done.
I got us.
I need a break. I have to go get some sleep time on the. So Ron, what I've seen you all week. I haven't heard you though.
I know. I've been waiting and saving my voice for an opportunity like this to get up here and sing Rocky Top. I brought a headband, but I think since it's football season, you ain't got to put it on. Can't nobody see it do the helmet.
Last time I was in Nashville, I wore your headband.
Don't say that with such enthusiasm.
Well, it felt like the same headband you used when you played at Tennessee.
That means there's magic left in it, then. Yeah, that's all.
a great touch, Ron. We had Coach Hype on a minute ago, and. I mean, he has been one of the more eagerly anticipated coaches all week.
Yeah, and it should be. The excitement level should be high. The reason being, coming off the way the season ended. I think people going into the season thought 8 wins would be a great mark to hit. You get to 11, including the bowl game, and the way it left off, Joe Milton left a great taste in everybody's mouth. So it was more of a, we want more. The vitamin C from the orange, it was pouring down. It was because of Joe Milton. So Hypo
like
has a
guy.
Lot. You like that?
I like Joe Milton.
Do you? Bazooka Joe. As I heard they call him Joe Cool, I call him Bazooka Joe. But
how far do you think he can throw it?
I would probably say a good 105.
105.
I say a good 105. Probably give him a bounce at the end to let it get there. But we'll aim that at 105. He's a guy that got something.
I talked to him earlier, and he seemed like he had it together. And he said, Ron Slay's been mentoring me.
Well, one thing we know he can do is entertain the crowd, if that's the case. But you got to put that and make that translate into some wins. And I think they got an opportunity to do that.
I mean, you don't know, but it seemed like there's so much magic in Capital One last year that Josh Heupel is using it. And he's also doing something, as you heard in that interview. He is not standing on soapboxes on NIL. I mean, Saban has ranted.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point where he didn't even bring it.
Yeah.
When Saban played the greatest hits this week, he left that one out. Yeah. He sung that song. But Lane Kiffin,
yeah,
of all people, the Portal King,
mm-hmm,
he decided to tell us something shocking today, that college football is a disaster. You could fool me with all the enthusiasm around here.
Yeah, it's still high around here. But I think Lane left a lot of meat on the bone because he's been quiet for, it seems like, a year and a half. So why not come out and make a blast?
Well, when you lose five out of your last six,
it's a reason to be.
It's hard to yap.
It's a reason to be. But
probably wouldn't have stopped you.
No. Why? Why would it? Is that what you sign up for? Is that why they turn the lights on, Paul? For me to be quiet?
No,
we don't want that. That's not what it's here for. NIL, man, you got to take advantage of it. I mean, it's here before they put parameters on it and make the bumpers, as they so-called. Why not take advantage of it? And I think Tennessee is in a position, when you look at collectives, to be able to get certain players in certain situations and get them along in the campus. But you also not only got to get them there, you got to get them there and keep them there. It's not about what they sign for. After all the smoke clears or the NILs, it's what you do, what's in your product. And I think Tennessee has a good product. So guys are voting from any school, regardless of NIL. You got to have a product. And I think Josh Heupel and them have a product up there. That's what keeps the kids there.
We're talking to Ron Slay. Ron, there'll be a point.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee fans are going, okay, we've done this, we've done that, we've done that. But
yeah,
they're no longer chasing Alabama.
Yeah,
they're chasing Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
How do you catch Georgia?
Well, first of all, with those little short, stubby little legs at the Bulldog, it ain't gonna take long for Smoker to get on his heels. I'm gonna just tell you that. But I think, man, it's the depth. I think that's what Georgia has right now. That's really superseding everything that everybody else has. The depth. You get guys that come out. You got sophomores getting ready to leave. You don't need the fifth-year seniors. You're building depth when you're Tennessee because of being able to have guys like Joe Milton stick around. You get Jacob Warren, tight end, being able to stick around. So now you're able to build. But along those lines, now you see the 24 class bringing depth in at the wide receiver spot, starting to get younger corners in. The linebacker core is going to be key. Being able to get defensive linemen, that's where it's going to be run, in the trenches. So The way you're able to gain some ground on Georgia, you go get some depth, especially in the trenches. And I think they're ready to do that, especially with a guy like Rodney Garner on staff. They're going to get it done.
He's legendary.
Way. Yeah.
So we know about your basketball prowess,
mm-hmm,
and I should know this. Did you play football in high school?
Oh man, now Paul, now you're talking about game. Now see basketball is in it's in my blood, but the soul, that's football. That's football right there. Two state championships right here in the state, Paul. I led the state in receiving for 3 weeks, Paul. 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, our coach was a genius, Coach Maurice Fitzgerald, man. He started giving it to Santonio Beard, running back for Alabama. That was our running back. And I think that was a smart decision.
And what happened to you?
Well, John Henderson.
I told you to go to the gym and start working on free throws.
No, I still had a glimmer of hope, Paul. But then John Henderson, who was Outland Trophy winner at Tennessee, All-American, went on to play pro, he decided he wanted to play tight end. So they started using him as an outlet, throwing an alley-oop pass to him, and he just catching and fall down for about 15 yards. So I kind of got phased out.
How many passes did you caught until that point?
I think 12.
How many did you catch after that?
See, the most important thing, Paul, is not to look ahead. It's to stay right in the present. You're going ahead. Man, it was
I act like I didn't know any of this, by the way. You play football, right?
Yeah, yeah, wide receiver, man. I played free safety for a second, Paul, but I lined up too far. They thought I was going to catch a punt. So they took me off of defense.
How did you get the news that you were no longer relevant on this team?
I tell you what. Me and John Henderson both decided basketball was going to be our key. So we had a meeting with the coach in the summer. We walk into the office, John Henderson, he tell him, let me talk to Ron first. I go in the office first. Coach Fitzgerald said, you know what? That's okay. Just go on and focus on basketball. 30-second conversation. I still love you. I go out. I'm waiting on John. I'm like, man, it's on you, big dog. I did it. I set the tone. He goes in. They're in there for 30 minutes. I'm sitting outside. He come back out and tell me, hey, man, I'm just going and I'm going to go on and play football. You let me out to have we were wanting this right here. How'd you leave me out to dry like that, man? So it was over after that. Then I broke my wrist going into my junior year, and that was pretty much it.
But you could have been somebody.
I could have. And I'm going to tell you who you asked. A person that's well-respected, David Cutcliffe.
I saw David this morning. He and I were the only people – in the fitness room at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Cut's gonna get it in.
He was doing the walk.
yeah, power walking and everything.
I still have my knees. Yeah. But I don't understand this. Like, does that do anything?
No. They told me never let both feet come off the ground at the same time and no longer use power once you get past 40. So yeah. I totally understand the power. Okay. You're doing the right thing. Let Cut figure it out. But he's the one that found me. He was walking through the gym. And that's the reason Tennessee started recruiting me in basketball. He was going to see John Henderson, came through the gym and saw me playing basketball and said, called up there to Coach Ferguson at University of Tennessee and said, y'all need to get out here and recruit this guy. Put me on the radar right then.
So you don't know what Henderson ended up cashing in to go to Tennessee, do you?
I know, man. One thing, he went from a Buick to a nicer SUV. I have no idea where he came
That's
from.
That's all you know. It doesn't matter.
It don't matter. It don't matter.
And by the way, if they do find out anything about Henderson getting paid to go to Tennessee, blame it on Pruitt.
I don't know if Chick-fil-A was popping in, but it is
I didn't
now.
Read the report. Did we ever say, was it a McDonald's or a Chick-fil-A?
Who knows? What was it, 60,000 messages you had to go through?
See, oh,
come on, that's too much.
Getting in trouble for spending $60,000?
Yeah, in today's age.
That's a tip.
Yeah, and that was we just talking about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Man, it is what it is.
Ron Slay.
Appreciate you.
You didn't disappoint anyone.
Why would I? Would you like me to sing?
Yeah.
Rocky Top, you'll always.
We'll be right
okay,
back.
Okay, a dog.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We continue. Shot of Broadway. A little quiet, but later on. It will be hopping as we continue. Joe Milton later on, the commissioner of the SEC later on. Right now, Brad Crawford from 24/7. Brad, thank you. Media Days is coming to an end.
It is.
And as you reflect back on this week, there are a lot of moments, but what stood out?
I got a few minutes earlier in the week with LSU coach Brian Kelly, whom I consider college football's best head coach right now without a national championship. I sort of asked him, Paul, what will it take for LSU to get to the playoff this season, not only win the SEC, but also win everything. And he said the parameters are in place to do so. He has arguably the best quarterback room in the SEC with Jaden Daniels. He's my top guy in the preseason. Garrett Nussmeier, he's a quarterback who would likely start for half of other Power 5 programs. Then he has Harold Perkins, arguably the best defensive player in college football. So I think Brian Kelly left Notre Dame a year and a half ago knowing that the talent level in Baton Rouge, he was going to magnify that more so than Notre Dame, and he's ready to win now.
Yeah, and as you said that, I started thinking, no, he's won. No, but he hasn't.
He doesn't.
I don't even say he's come close, but he did come within 28 points of a national championship.
Bama beat him 42-14 yeah. Down in Miami. Yeah.
He's been there enough times, though, that he knows how to do it. We're talking to Brad about a number of things. Other than Brian Kelly, so much conversation about Kirby Smart, the three-peat Nick Saban today, Lane Kiffin came in. Let me ask you about Lane, because he had one of the bigger headlines of the week when he called college football a disaster. Now, we've all been misquoted. In theory, that's not exactly – he was talking about the way the portal is.
Sure.
and the restrictions, but – college football doesn't seem like as much of a disaster as Lane Kiffin seemed to indicate, especially when Josh Heupel was up here 20 minutes ago talking about NIL's good.
It's not, and Lane Kiffin is doing as well as any Power 5 yeah. coach right now in the transfer portal. Him and Mike Norvell, Paul, at Florida State, have sort of built their rosters very similarly. I mean, Lane Kiffin is one of the few coaches in college football who took two transfer quarterbacks this cycle. In my opinion, he didn't take those guys to start. I think he's trying to light a fire under Jackson Dart, who, as we all know, was very inconsistent last season, had a lot of turnovers. But this Ole Miss offense does have firepower. Quinshon Judkins back. They signed two elite-level wide receivers out of the portal. So Lane Kiffin's time at the podium today was a little disheveled a bit. He looked a little out of his element up here.
Well, I think what Lane proved today is he's much funnier on Twitter.
Right. I mean, he kind of went through the motion. I mean, He didn't do his hair. He wasn't buttoned up.
Right,
I mean,
you can't be inconvenienced when you're Lane Kiffin. I mean, you got a lot happening in your life, and you look down and go, oh, I have to be in Nashville for media days. Let me just grab something, and maybe they'll have a hair and makeup person there.
He's probably already deep-sea fishing right now. Yeah.
He is cool, though. He's definitely the coolest SEC coach. Let's talk more about rosters, because you dig
sure.
you dig deep in this stuff. You mentioned LSU, and the one thing that I'm curious about is they've got the marquee guys, and you know, all the by this day, all the narratives are in cement. But is their roster deep enough to get past an Alabama or a Georgia or someone like that?
I think at the wide receiver spot they're really good. Malik Nabers, arguably the best pass catcher in the SEC, Kyron Lacy, former transfer. After those two guys, Paul, I'm not sure you can find a wide receiver one type player on that roster. We've already mentioned the quarterback room being elite, very good pass rush, Mason Taylor back, Harold Perkins mentioned him. But as you say, the two deep at LSU, it doesn't compare to Alabama right now, or it doesn't compare to Georgia. And Brian Kelly sort of alluded to that. He said several times this offseason, this roster might not be ready for the title this season. 2024, however, 12-team playoff, Brian likes his chances.
But I wonder why, though, and I'm not asking you to give us a definitive answer on what other people think, but you
sure.
talk to enough of these people.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you think, and by the time we're out of here today, we'll find out, but why do you think people have coalesced around LSU, knowing that they barely beat Alabama last year, the game's in Tuscaloosa? I realize everything is different,
right.
But still, what's the deal?
Some of the intel you gather at SEC Media Days, in my opinion, you learn more from the team site reporters and the analysts than you do who's on stage
sure.
or talking to players. You know, those guys are embedded in those towns. I think some of the doubt right now at Alabama is the reason that we're all piling on LSU, a lot of folks taking them to win the West. Alabama has serious quarterback issues. Nick Saban won't say that, but Tyler Buckner is not going to be the guy, I don't think. I think he was signed as a security blanket in case Ty Simpson or Jalen Milroe doesn't work out. So this is the first time in several years, Paul, that Alabama in late July has a serious quarterback problem.
In today's world, and I realize with the portal, you have to adapt quickly. But mm-hmm. I talk to quarterbacks, and they talk about leadership. You can't get leadership without reps, time, just to familiarize yourself. But still, these guys are practicing every day. Mm-hmm. They may not be formal practices, but coaches know what's going on. They're seeing the video. They're not missing a single snap when these guys are practicing. Saban doesn't know, I don't think. I agree with you. So how do you suddenly decide on somebody until you actually see them in competition?
I mean, speaking of guys, practicing, I guess off the record, so to speak, Shane Beamer told me today that Lenora Sellers, their freshman quarterback, has been throwing all summer with Nicholas Harbor, their freshman five-star wide receiver. So Shane's aware of this, as are other SEC coaches. These guys are building relationships in the summer, may not be at the team facility or whatnot, but I think Nick Saban has a serious, I guess, doubt issue right now in those three players. Jalen Milroe, obviously the most athletic option. He also had 6 of Alabama's 15 turnovers last season. That's the main reason he wasn't QB1 coming out of spring.
Seems like he got them in about 5 minutes in one game.
Yeah, three against A&M, I think it was. But he's a dual threat guy. Tommy Rees obviously had to go get Buckner. He had to get his guy.
Well, hold on.
Buckner wasn't even the starter.
He wasn't his guy. You're right.
Right. So it's just a weird dynamic. I think Alabama had to go to the portal after spring practice. And being that Devin Leary was already gone, Sam Hartman was already gone, the pickings were slim at the position.
Yeah, and there were a few guys that Alabama tried to get. They couldn't move.
Right.
Big-time players.
Big-time guys, yeah. I think we know one in Chapel Hill near us.
We do. We sure do. And there's another one who's around the corner, I think.
Probably, yeah.
That they were looking at.
So you kind of hear the transfer portal rumors. You hear guys that are current SEC leading rushers maybe looking elsewhere after this season. So the transfer portal, Paul, has created the rumor. I mean, it has just ignited the rumor mill during the talking season.
Final question on that. How does it affect the competition? And I realize you can do whatever you want, but you're not going to coaches worry. I don't want to lose a quarterback, but take us through that process right now, because especially like Lane Kiffin, he's got 4 quarterbacks. Pretty soon, as camp begins in a week or two, after 2 weeks, you don't have 4 quarterbacks.
No, you don't. I mean, Spencer Sanders was a late arrival at Ole Miss. He's also a graduate student who's about to get a degree and could technically leave during fall camp if he's told by Lane, look, Jackson's the guy, and Walker Howard, the transfer from LSU, he's number 2. Spencer's not going to waste a year of eligibility at Ole Miss. Talking to several coaches this week at SC Media Days, they've told me they've had to re-recruit their roster, which has made their jobs just infinitely more difficult after every season. They're having to almost re-sign their stars, and meet NIL deals. That's another whole – I mean, it's just college football is wild right now. It's no holds barred, any rules. And in the SEC, this is the big boys.
Always great to talk to Brad. We do it a lot during the week, and we certainly appreciate Brad Crawford from 24/7 coming by. Brad, thank you. We'll see you very soon.
Sounds good.
Good stuff. We are live at Media Days. We haven't talked about South Carolina. We'll do that. Maybe even a little Clemson conversation with Gene Sapikoff, columnist for The Post and Courier. He'll be with us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're watching The Paul Feinbaum Show, presented by Regions.
Always great to catch up with Gene Sapikoff from the Post and Courier in Charleston. Some big issues I want to talk to you about. First, we haven't had a chance to really talk about Carolina today. I saw Shane Beamer briefly, and he seemed like Shane Beamer always does. Effusive, ebullient. What was your takeaway from the Beamer train coming in here?
Vintage Shane, so enthusiastic, so genuine, and I think he's become, the last few years, Paul, one of the SEC Media Day's stars. I think everybody else is an opening act for this last day for Shane, and Justin King at South Carolina with these videos of Shane Beamer does such a good job, and I mean, he's a good salesman, and that's why South Carolina recruiting is better than it should be, really.
Speaking of that, I hear really good things about Clemson. It seemed like they took 2 years off, and I realize they didn't completely evaporate, but are they back?
I realize guys like Phil Steele have them in the playoff, yeah, and stuff, but I think it's one of the better stock buys in college football right now because a lot of people think they're not back. But if you look at their roster and their position groups, I think they're really good at every position except backup quarterback and some questions about Cade Klubnik, the starter, coming out of that Orange Bowl. You know, he's just had a few games that he's played. Can't be too enthusiastic really about him. But in comes Garrett Riley, one of the hottest young offensive coordinators. So you've replaced DJ Uiagalelei and Brandon Streeter with Cade Klubnik and Garrett Riley. And, I mean, that's a pretty assertive fix mechanism that Dabo Swinney applied there. And that defense is loaded, Paul.
One thing I always like to talk to you about, Gene, is the industry that we're in. You have been in what used to be called the newspaper business for a long time. It's no longer called the newspaper business, although your newspaper can be seen and found. It's actually a real thing in the Charleston community. But this week, one of the uglier incidents I've seen in a long time with the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, they retracted a story, a very sensitive story about the Georgia football program, fired the reporter who wrote it. And I bring all this up not to pile on the AJC, because there's nothing left to pile on. It's the image and perception of the media now when they write something, when they publish something that is viewed unfavorably by a fan base. It's so convenient to attack the messenger, and I wonder if this doesn't make it easier.
First of all, I feel so blessed to work at the Charleston Post and Courier, recently the subject of a great CBS Morning News piece that you can find on YouTube. But, Paul, you're right. This latest AJC thing, and unfortunately, they had problems with their Olympic bombing coverage, too. I don't think Clint Eastwood will make a movie about this latest thing with Georgia football. No. But it's really one of the largest stains on journalism, all journalism, but particularly traditional newspaper journalism in recent sports memory, at least the last 10 years or so. I do think Leroy Chapman, the lead editor, and others at the AJC reacted properly to this. He's fairly new there. And they fired a reporter that had been there for 25 years and offered a pretty good explanation. But that's not going to fly with readers and for all journalists, especially traditional journalists. This really hurts, and it's a bad problem.
Yeah, and I in my own mea culpa, I mean, I like you, you tend to want to always defend what we spent our life trying to excel in, and I it's harder to do, and I'm going to be far more careful in the future. Not that it matters what I say or do, but it does matter when these type of stories happen. And I'm asking you, why? It's a broad question about something you're not that familiar with, but why do you think this happened at a place like that? Is it a product of the rush to get things out, or was it just a bad apple maybe?
Not knowing the specifics of the way the sausage is made at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which, by the way, still has many fine reporters and a tremendous alumni, you know, base that we all know.
Sure.
But, I mean, cutbacks and layoffs and things like that have had to create stress on editing and line editing, which is a very specific kind of going through things and vetting. There's no doubt that you see that at some of the best publications in the country of all kinds, web and traditional magazines, etc., that the vetting just isn't there that used to be. And we talk about a lack of reporters and people that you see maybe on TV or in the, you know, on the websites and stuff, but in the back shop, editing and stuff, those people that do the offensive line work, they're also being cut and at great cost. And I suspect that's one of the huge problems with this AJC.
Yeah, and I realize we're getting deep, but this is not your traditional guy, though, where you send, you know, we send our Georgia guy to media days and he does some video. He's tweeting, he's blogging, he's taking pictures, and then he's reporting. That guy has no shot at being able to delineate. I mean, this was an investigative reporter. That's what he does. This wasn't a sports reporter.
Right, and a 25-year veteran.
And he still blew it. And Pat Forty told us yesterday, who used to work for the Courier-Journal, which in the day was revered, that he got run out of there for another problem 30 years ago.
It's a sad state of affairs, and, you know, it's ridiculous. I feel bad for everybody in the industry. I don't know what else to say, and hopefully we all learn a lesson from this.
I'll answer that by saying we won't, because there's no time. It's just everything is under too much assault. Got to be careful. But that's something you don't have to worry about when you're popping off on South Carolina and Clemson, because you've got the background. You've got the experience. We always enjoy seeing you, Gene. Didn't mean to turn this into a journalism seminar, but it has been that type of week with Kirby Smart really almost essentially shutting down the South's largest news organization. We'll be back with much more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.